Welcome to Ray and Kay Today, talking sports with friends.
Ray and Kay Today, talking
sports radio on the dial. Check us out, we'll make you smile.
Ray
and they spit it, don't play, and we're talking nothing but the NFL and NBA, MLB, college football, college basketball, some tennis for y'all, a little bit of golf, maybe some hockey. Don't you understand? We'll bring back Rocky.
Let's start the show.
Let's start the show. Hello, hello. You're listening to Ray and Tay Today, and I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor. Thanks for joining us, and let's talk some sports. Give us a call, 718-664-9098. Like always, hit us up with the email at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Check out the website, rayandtaytoday.com. See what Ray and Tay thought about the NFL and their predictions. See how we're doing the first 3 weeks. And, you know, tweet at us. Hit us on Facebook. Check us out on YouTube. Ray, we got the Urban Daily audience with us. I guess right off the bat, I got to ask you, are the 3-0 Eagles the best team in the NFL? And could they be going to the Super Bowl?
Well, I can't say the best team. They're the best team in the NFL, but I can say that they might go to the Super Bowl. As much as it's crazy to think, Chip Kelly and that offense, they came back for their three wins. They were down 10 or more in each of those three wins. That's a scary team. I don't know if they can play from ahead, but they can certainly play from behind. So anytime you have that kind of offense and that kind of confidence that you can come back, they're scary. They're hard to game plan for, especially if they're all healthy. And Nick Foles looks like he's the real deal. So I'll still go with Seattle coming out. I thought San Francisco, but they're having some issues. I thought Green Bay, but they're having issues. New Orleans is having issues. So there's a vacuum behind Seattle in the NFC. You know, even your Arizona Cardinals look good, but I don't know that they'll go to the Super Bowl. We'll talk about it in a bit.
Definitely. You know what I think that's interesting about it, about Philadelphia, and you heard Kerry Williams, the cornerback, saying that they practice too much and they don't have the legs, which doesn't make sense because of all their comebacks and how great they play in the fourth quarter. So that contradicts that statement. But what I would say about the Eagles, number one, I'm not sure about them having that big home field advantage like i.e. the Seahawks and the Saints do in terms of how well they play at home. But the one thing that I have noticed is Philadelphia, when they need to explode and score, they can do it in bunches. And now guess what? It looks like they've connected with the rookie from Vanderbilt, Jordan Matthews. So that's another weapon with Macklin looking good. Cooper's been kind of quiet, but you got Zach Ertz and Celek at tight end. And then the two-headed monster, thank goodness it looks like McCoy will be okay. Didn't do much yesterday on the game in fantasy, but he came back, so he should be all right. But McCoy and Sproles are dangerous. And Nick Foles, yeah, he won't have the same stats as last year. He could have more touchdowns, even though he might have more turnovers, but he could have more touchdowns. And I think overall their defense is a little bit better. So the Eagles are definitely a team for us to keep an eye on. We'll get back to them. Let's bounce around before we get to football and all the football talk. Number one, I gotta applaud, you know, clap for my boy Ray. Second week of NASCAR, and Joey Logano won. That was your sleeper surprise pick, and you picked him to win the championship. Now, because he won, him and Brad Klazowski, they both have clinched to go to the next round of 12. We got one more race next week in Delaware, Dover. And we'll see what happens before they start to cut four drivers. So what are your thoughts about NASCAR real quick and your boy Joey Logano getting the victory yesterday in New Hampshire?
Well, that's my man. He's a dark horse. You know Jeff Gordon's my main man.
I know
Jimmy Johnson is your guy. Yeah. But look, it's wide open. In this new format, it's so hard to tell what's going to happen going forward because they cut down from 16 to 12 to 8. So all you got to do is make the cut. It's like win and move on, like the NCAA tournament. So Joey's in. He would have qualified anyway, but Joey's in. So So, again, Joey's my dark horse, man. I know Jeff Gordon's my guy for like the past decade, but keep an eye out for Joey Logano, the young buck.
It's fun. It's exciting. We'll see what happens and see what happens next Sunday. It will be on ESPN. Should be exciting. Then we got to go to baseball, man. The wild card races are heating up. You know, it looks like the Yankees and Indians, they probably won't make it, but, you know, they're still going out with bangs. But in the American League, we got to really talk about, you know, the Tigers, like we said, and you really, really said that, that they would hold on that division. But for the wild card, let's just look at the wild card races. Looks like Royals and A's will probably, you know, be those two. Seattle is, you know, it's like they play a good one game and then they lose two, then they win two. They're hanging around, but I don't know if they're going to beat out the Royals or A's. And then, obviously, right now in the wild card races in the NL, it's the Pirates and Giants. They're shining. And what happened with Atlanta? The Braves fired their GM, right?
Fired their GM, yeah. Well, two GM moves. So Atlanta fired Frank Wren today, and Hart is going to be the interim GM. And the Mets are actually working on, apparently, an extension for their GM, for Sandy Alderson, giving him another couple years probably, and letting all those pitchers come back healthy. And if this
better spend some money. They better spend some money this season, and I would actually get rid of the coach. The manager's got to go. I don't think he should stay.
Well, I don't know. I mean, look, who's out there? I mean, Phil Jackson, and the Knicks have Phil Jackson, so he can't coach the Mets.
Wally Backman. Wally Backman. Let's give him a chance. Let's hire Wally, baby. Real Met.
You're a Wally fan? Okay. I don't know. Wally ball? Maybe. But look, the Mets, quiet as kept. The Mets are 76-80. They're not terrible, considering they
all the
injuries,
you're right. Good season.
Starters, injuries. I don't know. Collins is all right. I can't say
right.
I don't love him, but I don't hate him yet.
Yeah. Okay. I'll buy that for a dollar. Maybe they stay on. Yankees are, at least as I say this about our Yankee fans, you know, and I'll talk about them later a little bit, but at 80-75, they're not disappearing in the playoff race, but it's just too much, you know, it's just too much. At least a couple of games away from Kansas City, they only got 70 losses, and it's going to be sad not to see Jeter. So he's got three more games at home against the Orioles, and then he hits the road, right?
Right, and they end in Boston next Sunday.
Yeah,
you know who we need to give credit to?
Ooh.
A little credit to Baltimore.
Yeah.
They have the second best record in all of baseball behind the Angels. They're 93-62. I mean, they could win 96, 97, 98 games.
Buck Showalter, our guy.
Buck Showalter. You know what? Yeah. And we had that segment last year where we talked about you don't want to be – you want to be the guy that follows Buck Showalter. So I hope that Buck Showalter gets to go to the World Series and maybe even win one in Baltimore.
Yeah. He deserves it. We talked about this.
You know, Joe Torre followed him in New York. And your boy Bob Brenly followed him in Arizona. And Ron Washington followed him in Texas. So I just hope he gets to see this start to finish. Because good for him. He put together a nice little squad there.
Quiet as kept, he might be the best manager in baseball. I mean, if we're being kind of honest, there were no flukes that, like you said, that after he left, the other managers went on to win. It's because he put in all that groundwork and built a winning mindset and winning organization. So Buck's a great guy. And, hey. Now, let me ask you this, because the Pirates are looking pretty good. The Brewers, man, they got smacked down by the Pirates. And now the Brewers 80-76, and the Pirates 84-71. The Pirates have really turned it around, and it's almost I hate to say it, but like a lock, you know. And the Giants 84-71. Yeah, it's a done deal.
It's a done deal. They won't catch St. Louis, I don't think. Two and a half back, two in the loss
column. Caught the Giants,
but
that's impressive. They caught the Giants.
It's them and the Giants.
Yeah,
it looks like the only decision is going to be, or the only thing up for grabs is going to be where that play-in game is going to be held.
Might be in Pittsburgh. Can I tell you, how much fun is that going to be? Giants, Pirates, one game, maybe in Pittsburgh. Ray, that's going to be fun. That is going to be fun. So let's keep it moving. You know, we'll do the baseball and
hold on.
We'll get.
Looks like we got a call here.
All right.
Hello, Paulie. You're on the air with Ray and Tay.
What's up, fellas?
What's going on?
Is it G Money from the courthouse?
I have to admit the fantasy gods struck me down last night.
What do you want to say to Tay? What do you want to say to Tay? Are you calling to talk to Tay?
I have to eat a bowl of crow in front of Eric Taylor.
explain the scenario though.
I'm up by 6 points with Carolina's defense left, and Carolina's defense.
And you need Carolina's D.
Well, Carolina gives you the 10 points, so that they start the game with, 99-95.
Oh, boy.
And then Carolina decided to get smacked down by Tay's favorite team. Look, it's poetry, right? It was written. It was written by the fantasy guy.
I was texting Eric Taylor that Victor Cruz came over to my house for dinner and wanted to know why Eric didn't start him. Right? How bad the smack talking. I think that may have offended the gods somehow.
Yeah.
So that, you know, by the time I went to bed, I was down by four, and I was just so brokenhearted, I couldn't even sleep.
Well, we got to give G Money credit for picking up. You didn't play him, but you picked up Taliaferro in Baltimore.
On a complete ruse, I had no idea what he was going to do, and it just seems that Bernard Pierce is doing his version of the Titanic.
Yeah, well, listen, I don't, you know, I told you I didn't have confidence with you having Romo and Terrence Williams and
you
your belief.
You know, this is the crazy stat of the
day. Pitt is gone for the season.
Pitt is done for the season.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to pick up Owen Daniels. OD's going to get a lot of work now.
Somebody's
but
already
here's
got
the
him.
Craziness. Think about this one. As bad a day as Fitzpatrick had yesterday, he was still better than Tony Romo in fantasy points. Tom Brady, excuse me.
Yeah, Tom Brady's having – he had his best fantasy game, and it was only like 13, 14 points. Yeah, Tom Brady's having – he's not a fantasy quarterback anymore, and he's struggling. That Patriots offense is struggling, but they beat the Raiders barely, and they hold on, you know?
Yeah,
but how about Phillip Rivers, baby, the gunslinger, going to Buffalo and putting up, 25 points for Taylor Made? You got to like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Who's your Super Bowl pick, G Money? It's early in the season, but who you got?
It's early, but I like Atlanta a lot.
Stop.
You know, I like San Diego a lot. And NFC, you know, I like the Bears. I'll give you one more. I mean, I obviously the Seahawks are going to be up there.
What about the Eagles? Seahawks and Eagles.
The Eagles are going to fall apart.
Okay.
I have a feeling Eagles are going to go by the wayside as the season goes on.
You believe in the Bengals?
We got to ask you a legal question. See, we got to ask you a legal question, too.
Yes.
Are any of these guys going to jail? Are any of these athletes that are in football players that are in the news?
Well,
any
I don't see how Hardy doesn't go to jail.
Right. He's appealing.
He can appeal it all he wants, but, you know, assuming that there's nothing wrong on the appeal and he loses the appeal, he can't just go to trial and not expect a consequence of significant action, right? Ray Rice is obviously not going to jail. I don't think they're going. They can't go back and give him something worse in terms of the Atlantic City prosecutor.
Texas? In Montgomery County in Texas, Peterson?
Oh, you know, that's an interesting one.
Yeah.
That's an interesting one because if the members of the community down in Texas are of the opinion, hey, you know, it's okay to do that, I don't see how that's possible, but it's what the community thinks is appropriate and whether he crossed the line. To me, that is a case, you know, that should be worked out prior to trial. I know that they were talking about having an expedited trial to try and get him back into the season. But what if he were to take a plea and say, look, I love my kid to death, but I stepped over the line. I admit
right.
it. I went
right.
too far. Right?
Right.
I don't think any prosecutor would put him in jail. I think the guy needs parenting classes.
Right, right, exactly.
He didn't have the intent to hurt his child.
Right, that was not his intent. Right, exactly.
At all.
So what would they do for that, Gary? Would that be, like you said, parenting classes by the court
Management classes, parenting classes, maybe monitoring by a probation department to make sure that his kids are okay and that he's okay. You know, this is a guy with significant anger issues.
Well,
you know, it's not just
but,
it goes
but,
beyond
visitation rights, though, Gary. The two sons that he both severely spanked are with two different women that he, I guess, must have some type of partial custody. Could they say he'd have to take these classes before he could be alone with his children again or see his
Absolutely.
Kids?
Absolutely. And, okay. and, you know, realistically, why shouldn't he? I mean, I don't think they'll ever take his kids away because
right.
I think it's detrimental to the children to have the father completely removed from their lives. But
right,
the
right.
guy needs some sort of assistance, you know, in weeding out what's acceptable and what's not. The fact that he was beaten that bad obviously is not acceptable by any community standard. You know, even getting hit once, maybe leaving a mark, then, you know, everything else like that goes downhill. My point is that, you know, is this really a triable case? I mean,
yeah, I don't think, yeah.
Or should a deal be worked out? And if a deal is worked out, you know, is he banned for the year? Is it necessary?
Well, that's my question. Should he be able to play? I have him on my fantasy team in one league. You have him in real ball. I mean,
it all comes down to fantasy.
No, it all
right.
comes down.
Well,
I mean,
well,
what if they suspended him? It really depends upon the owner. It's what Ziggy wants.
Right.
You
well,
know,
I don't think
he says, look, I'll pay you and you don't come.
Well, they are paying him, and he's not to not.
I know. What if he says
he's
done for the year?
Play, well, I don't think he's going to play for Minnesota ever again. That's why I think, and this is kind of
ironic.
Yeah,
but if you're
now,
in a
right?
money-making organization like an NFL franchise,
and they got
PSLs
to sell. No, well, listen, it depends on what the Minnesota community and feels
right.
so much, and whether or not they can sell it. Yeah, and remember a couple of weeks ago. We had the rumors of that ESPN article with Adrian Peterson calling Jerry Jones about wanting to play for the Cowboys one day.
Right.
Maybe
well,
he knew something, you know. Maybe he knew something.
I think it's one of these things where, you know what, if he takes a plea and he says, look, I went over the line, I understand what I did wrong, how can anyone ban him? How can any, you know, team say we don't.
Well, Minnesota can because of sponsorship and issues. The question is, could they release him or could they have trade him to another team? That's, you know, I mean, he's 29. He's going to be 30 soon. So it's all tricky.
He's in the prime of his career. If you want to win, you need a running back.
Well, and also keep in mind, they're building a new stadium over there.
Right.
Well,
it also comes into consideration.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously
the
they're not going to name it Peterson Stadium, but
no.
Know.
But he's on the tickets. He's in the marketing. I mean, it's
I
a mess.
Know.
They're going to have to. They're going to wipe slate with him because I don't think the fans. Once the governor of Minnesota came out with that statement, I think that was a wrap for him.
But
once
the guy says, "Look, I made a mistake."
Right. No. No. You're right. Listen. He's got to do that.
And he hasn't done that yet.
Well,
that's
he made
thing.
A statement. He made a statement. But he said that he probably went too far, but he still felt that that's how he disciplines his children because that's how he was. So he needs to change that a little bit.
He
and
needs
if
to
he changes
it and be
that,
like, look, I messed up.
Yeah, exactly. Listen, mea culpa, right? He's got to just switch direction.
He's got to fall on the sword.
Apologize. Right, but let me ask you this real quick before we let you go. You know, Ray believed strongly or did in the beginning of the season with the Niners, and they're falling apart. What happens with Ray McDonald and his case? I thought it was going to be decided in a couple of days whether or not they would press charges or not. There have not been official charges, but
no. There
was supposed swelling on the wife's face when the police came. So what's the holdup? Like
obviously I'm not the expert in California law, but
no, I know.
She says if the wife says, look, I don't want to participate in this process for whatever reason, right? If she says, I don't want to participate, maybe the cops saw it, but maybe they don't have enough evidence to prosecute him. Maybe there's some sort of pretrial diversion program where they can get, you know, him into so he doesn't get charged. You know, he's in a different position than Hardy, who's already been convicted. So, you know, if there have been no charges, then everyone can cover their ass and say, hey, you know, there haven't been any charges. We have to give him due process and hope for the best.
Okay. Well, that's Ray and Tay's lawyer expert, G Money, fantasy extraordinaire.
G Money from the courthouse.
That's right. G Money from the courthouse.
From my office today.
Oh, that's good.
Where the magic happens, folks.
All right.
All right, fellas. That's Assalamu alaikum.
All right. Thank you, Gary.
All right, G Money. Thanks for the call.
All right.
Peace. So that's perfect. We got a little insight there on the legal system from our lawyer friend and you know, expert to the show, G Money. G Money 152 or 151. I'm sorry, 151, right? And
151. So, and you got to add from the courthouse because that's where
from
you
the courthouse.
Real. G Money from the courthouse.
Courthouse. I like that. I like that. So let's go to college football, man. And talking about court, I want to ask you this. What's wrong with Florida State in terms of they squeak by, get the win without Winston, you know, give McGuire and the team credit. I think Clemson gave them the game in overtime, 23-17. But how does he come out of the locker room with the uniform and the jersey, the pads? You know, now Fisher did the right thing. Jimbo Fisher sent him in and he changed or whatever. But Ray, there's got to be some sort of disconnect with him, the coach, the system. Have they coddled this kid too much to the point that people just don't get it? He shouldn't have been on that field coming out if he was suspended for the game. And good thing that they went from – and remember I said on Friday's show, he should have been for the game, and they went from a half to the game. So tell me, what's going on there? What do you think?
Organized chaos. I saw that and I was thinking to myself, what is going on here? I've never seen a player suspended in full uniform. I don't think I've ever seen a suspended player
on
the sideline. Usually you sit in the stands, you know, in the student section, in
you
somewhere
wouldn't even
else.
Know that a player's there. We've never seen a suspended player on television. Seen that.
So I don't know if it's just them assuming that he would, quote-unquote, do the right thing, or it's just he has carte blanche to do whatever he wants to do. But it was very odd that he came out in full uniform, and then he came back, and then he came back with just his jersey on, and then he was on the sidelines. And I kept saying to myself, it's almost like this is a comedy hour at Florida State.
That's a mess.
At the end of the day, they won.
Yeah.
And he's back today in practice. So bygones be bygones. But how many episodes does this kid have? Especially because you know you're under the spotlight. You already won your Heisman Trophy. You know that people are all in your business.
He'll never win it again.
Why?
I don't care what he does in the field. He cannot win it again. He's done too much damage.
He won't win it again. But I'm just saying, you know that all the cameras are pointed in your direction. You know that everybody's waiting for you to slip up. And yet,
right.
And still, you keep doing things. You keep fueling the fire. I don't know what's going on
I think something is wrong with him. I really do. And I don't know what it is. And I'm not trying to be funny here. I think that there's something a little bit off. And we'll see how it all plays out. You know, we wish the kid well. It's not like we wish him ill. But he needs real, real fatherly advice and leadership from the school he goes to. The coach and everybody. But let's talk about on the field. Some great wins and games. Number one, Alabama looks like they are back. 42-21 over Florida, and that offense set a record. What did they put up? 600 and something yards, Ray? That was impressive, what Alabama did to Florida. The Gators. The Gators are a mess, right? And our Michigan Wolverines are a mess, losing to Utah. Musgrave and Brady Hoke, I think they're both going to be gone by the end of the football season. I think Florida and Michigan will have two new head coaches next season. That's my thought on that. I don't know, where do you stand with those two programs?
Yeah, those two franchises, and I call them franchises on purpose, Florida and Michigan, they expect more. And Brady Hoke came in saying the right things, like, my goal is to beat Ohio State, and I'm ready, and this, that, and the other. But he hasn't been getting it done. And to get blown out
at home,
in the regional rivalry, you know, to Notre Dame, and that's not good. That's not a good
look.
Right,
but getting blown out by Utah at home with an empty crowd. It was only red fans there, red Utah fans, after the crazy storm.
That's the craziest one. So to lose like that back-to-back. And then Florida, you know, since Spurrier left, and then Urban Meyer came in, and you thought that was an elite program and they weren't going anywhere. And now, with under the helm of Will Muschamp, I don't know. He's in trouble.
It's falling apart.
He's in trouble. So, yeah, I agree. Both of those next year are going to have new coaches.
Now, how about great story in SEC, Mississippi State beating LSU in LSU. To me, that is such a huge program win. I'm very happy for them. They have not ever done that, beat a top 10 team on the road. So that's like huge. Mississippi State, I mean, LSU was ranked 8, and they go in there really take it to them.
Putting up 34 on a Les Miles defense, that's a big deal.
Oh, yeah, 34-29. So, and then big props to the Big Ten, who everybody's been ripping this year. They go to the SEC team and beat Missouri, who's number 18. So that, I mean, those were just the, you know, the real big upsets. Obviously, East Carolina. North Carolina. Yeah,
shout out
to the Hoosiers.
Indiana.
That's a big win, right?
No, and that's a big win.
That Oregon game was fun against Washington State, right? That was pretty high scoring in my
seven undefeated Pac-12 teams. So the Pac-12, you know, they're going to beat up on each other. But right now, after 3 or 4 weeks into the season, they look good.
No, they definitely do. And Miami, like I was saying, watch that game. They surely played well in Nebraska, 41-31. But Nebraska was just too tough. But Oregon at Washington State, 38-31. That was a great game. So, obviously, we'll give you some more college football on Friday, give you our picks. Oklahoma-West Virginia was a fun game, 45-33. West Virginia hung tough for a bit, but then Oklahoma just put on the, you know, they just put on the Jets and took it to them. I think anybody would see or admit that the top teams, Oregon, Oklahoma, Florida State, and Bama are tough. They're just tough, you know. And obviously Auburn beating Kansas State. They're still, you know, going to be a top five team and rough to deal with. It'll be interesting to see how the rest of the SEC season and schedule plays out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think we got to look for Georgia, South Carolina. You know, I don't know where you put Texas A&M. Are they a spoiler team or are they a legitimate contender to be a Final Four team?
Not sure yet. Yeah, they'll be tested, right? I mean, I think coming up in the next week or two, they got some tough games, so we'll definitely see. Well, let's take a quick break. We'll come back with our segment, Champs and Chumps of the Sports Weekend, and then close with the NFL Week 3 games, injuries, fantasy, the whole nine. Ray and Tech.
Hello, we're back to talk NFL.
Well, let's do our champs.
Champs and chumps.
Our
champs and chumps has a strong NFL flavor, but I know we're going to mix in some baseball as well. So we had a weekend, and after the weekend, we like to come back and give you Ray and Tay's best and worst of the weekend. We call it champs and chumps. So are you feeling positive? Are you feeling negative?
I'm going to go positive. I'm going to go positive and get a little emotional just because I know it's the end for Jeter. Our Yankees are not going to make the playoffs, but I'm really proud of this guy. I am my pick for a rookie of the year was Masasuke Tanaka, and I got to give him credit. Coming back from his injury, he's been gone forever, and he gets the win, and he's 13-4, a 2.47 ERA, 139 strikeouts, and what he did last night, you know, he beat Toronto. He only pitched, you know, 5 2/3 innings, but he, you know, he was solid. He had, what, 4 strikeouts. He only gave up 5 hits. But I think it was a good sign for Yankee fans for Tanaka coming back, right? The last time we saw him was July 8th against Cleveland. So, and, you know, he had lost, and then we found out that he was hurt or whatever. So, to me, I'm just so glad that he came back. He'll end the season, maybe get one more start before the season ends, maybe in Boston.
Yeah, they said they want to start him on Saturday.
Okay, so there you go. He'll get one more start. And it's just a good sign for our future for next season. And I got to say, Tanaka, I'm glad you made it back this season. People didn't think you would. And he's my champ for the sports weekend. I was glad to see him get that start and get the W. Welcome back.
All right. If we're going to be positive, let's be positive. So my champs of the weekend are also my Dallas Cowboys. I picked them to go 6-10 in the season. I thought they'd be terrible. They came off with an historically bad defense. They didn't do much to improve the defense. They lost to Marcus Ware, and I just thought they'd be terrible. I still don't think they're gangbusters. I still don't think they're going to do big things, even make the playoffs. But I got to give any team credit when they come back from the largest deficit they've come back from.
Down 21-0, right?
21 points on the road against St. Louis. Now, again, St. Louis is still not a great team, but you know what? They can run the ball. And anybody who
and
can
they have
run
a good
the
defense.
Ball,
yeah.
And they have a great defense, a great front four. Anybody who can run the ball and can rush the quarterback should be able to protect the lead, especially at home. But you know what? Dallas kept plugging it. So they were down 21-0, and then they scored, 34-10. They outscored them 34-10 from about midway through the second quarter on. And it wasn't like Dallas got an outstanding performance from anybody. It's just that everybody did their share. And their defense stepped up, right? DeMarco Murray only ran for 100 yards. Romo threw for 217 yards. Touchdown to Terrence Williams, touchdown to Dez Bryant. So it's not like they got a 500-yard performance like that shootout when they lost to Denver. They just slowly but surely kept their confidence, kept their wits about them, and they won, and they went 2-1. So for that, I give them my champ of the week, Dallas Cowboys.
You play to win the games. Listen, how about them Cowboys? Nah, that was pretty good. And, you know, you wonder where the Rams are headed and, you know, without Sam Bradford and Austin Davis is playing good. Maybe Sean Hill comes back. But to get negative, I got to give some chumps out. And the NFC West has become the best division in football. And like Ray has said, possibly the last 3 years, the best team in football has been the San Francisco 49ers. Well, right now, there seem to be some new bullies on the block. The champs were the Seahawks. Last year, the 10-6 Cardinals did not make the playoffs, but they went to Seattle and got a win. Well, right now, the Niners are 1-2. The Cardinals are 3-0. And the Cardinals yesterday took care of the Niners 23-14. The Niners started off looking pretty good. Before you know it, they're up 14-6 at the half. They did absolutely nothing in the second half. And I got to tell you, I was so disappointed watching that game with the Niners. They could not run the football. I don't know what happened with Frank Gore. If he got injured, he had 6 carries for 10 yards. Carlos Hyde had 13 carries. Kaepernick, 54 yards, 13 carries. But they are by far the chumps. They had, I think it was about 16 or 17 penalties. Kaepernick was not that impressive, except for the first half, 245 and a touchdown for the game. But, Ray, the Niners are in trouble. We talked about McDonald. We know about Alden Smith being out. Justin Smith is a one-man gang on their defense. We did see Stevie Johnson show up to play, but I got to be honest with you. Right now, the 49ers are looking bad at 1-2, and they are my chumps at a sports weekend.
Yeah, not only looking bad, they're in the wrong neighborhood to look bad. When you got two other teams that are looking really good, it's not the right time to be.
They need
Navarro
Bowman back
all
those quickly.
Penalties. Ugh,
oh, it was
but
awful.
He's gone. Yeah, he won't be back in full strength until next year. My chump, on a similar vein, another NFC team, another team that has won a Super Bowl, another team that looks on paper, or at least looked to me on paper, like they had the best player in football and they should be winning that division, winning their division, is the Green Bay Packers.
Mm.
It's one thing to lose in your division.
Especially
it's
on the road.
Another thing, especially on the road, it's another thing to only put up 7 points. And you know that Detroit is a tough team to beat at home. They're horrible on the road. They're pretty good at home historically, you know, in this Matt Stafford, you know, new era. But Aaron Rodgers, and he killed me in so many ways. I have him in three fantasy leagues, and in all of those leagues I lost. So forgetting about fantasy for a minute, he killed me in real football too, because I predicted – the Packers to do very well and win that division. But he goes 16 for 27 for 162. Eddie Lacy looks terrible. Lacy couldn't make it happen. James Starks came in the game and was doing his thing a little bit. Even your guy, Jordy Nelson, who almost caught for 200 yards, only caught five balls for 59 yards.
Oh, yeah, 209 last week.
They look out of sync. I don't know. They don't look like an elite team. And you know what? With this loss in the division to Detroit and with Chicago playing tonight against the Jets, Green Bay is another team that could be in trouble, find themselves in third place in their division.
Yeah. No, definitely. Well, listen, that's a good way to end the champs and chumps, and they definitely were the chumps. I'd have to agree with you on that. Now, let's talk about the future. We talk about the NFL. There's two guys that got put in yesterday because of injuries, and we got to talk about injuries. But before we talk about all the negative with the injuries, because there's a ton of them, we got a list to run down, Ray. I just want to give props and wish them well. I wish them well on Twitter. But this week, they're both starters. Teddy Bridgewater, Matt Castle, unfortunately, was injured. So Bridgewater looked pretty good in the second half. He will start for the Minnesota Vikings this week. And Blake Bortles, who they swore up and down would redshirt this year. Well, Henny didn't get hurt, but he was hurting the team. And Blake Bortles looks good. Came in, threw two touchdowns, you know, had an interception or two. But I'll say this, he looks promising, and everybody in the organization, fans, wants Bortles. And I think he deserves to play because he outplayed Henny in preseason. So that's, you know, looking to the future, Bortles and Bridgewater. Manziel's still on the bench and Carr's starting. So we got three rookies going now, Ray. It'll be fascinating to see how that plays out. Why don't you start giving me the list of injuries? We know about Castle. We mentioned Danny Woodhead. Who else is out for the season or injured or for a while?
Dennis Pitta just had his surgery on his hip, so he's out. They just announced that he's out for the year. Did you see this, though? Stephen Tulloch, when he was celebrating?
Oh, the linebacker for the Lions, yeah.
Yes, for the
what
Lions.
What a knucklehead.
Out for the season, like Kendry Morales in baseball when he tried
season?
To, you know, for the
for
season.
Celebrated. Yikes. And also, this one's sad. D'Angelo Hall got hurt.
His Achilles, he's out.
Yeah, that was bad. Now, my boy from the Steelers, we got a huge victory Sunday night. We'll talk about that. But three bad injuries. Shazier, Jarvis Jones, and Ike Taylor. Ike Taylor could be back in, you know, by week 10 or 12, though, so that's a good news about that. Haven't heard yet about Shazier and Jarvis Jones, but Ike Taylor hit the messed up the forearm like Gronkowski. So, you know, that's not a good look for the Steelers. Three defensive starters to be injured. And now we heard about Jeff Locker and his wrist. So I don't know, is the backup there going to be, is it Mecklenburg? Is it going to be Zach Mecklenburg coming in for Jake Locker? I'm not sure. For Tennessee.
Oh,
so we got to find that out. And then, and then Matt Moore, just because Miami's been playing so bad, Tannehill, 34-15, Miami, poor our buddy Hank. I was texting him. Hank is frustrated with the Dolphins. They can't stop the run. They have a great defensive line, but they're just a mess. You know, Ryan Tannehill might get benched, Philbin said. So there's a ton of injuries. You know, Kyle Rudolph's out for about 6 weeks, which is not good for Bridgewater. Imagine Bridgewater. He gets to finally play, no running back and no tight end. That's horrible. Minnesota's in a bad
place. That's not how you want to throw a rookie into a starting lineup.
So, Ray, let's talk about it. Before we get to the Super Bowl rematch, let's talk about Sunday Night Football. My Steelers go to Carolina 37-19. And like I told you, they got attacked, and I didn't think it would be this bad, by the four Bs, the killer Bs. We had Big Ben, Antonio Brown, who I think is right now about to break Lavernius, our boy Lavernius Cole's record of over five receptions in 19 straight games. And he tied it, so next week would be 20 if he does it. Antonio Brown is probably the best weapon right now in football. He's amazing. And then Blunt and Bell, who both rushed for well over 100 yards, 118 and 145. What do you think about my Steelers? That was a very good win.
I thought it was an excellent win for the Steelers. Again, I didn't expect much out of Carolina. I just think they're a dud on offense. And we did see Calvin Benjamin come in, and he's the real deal. We talked about this off air. But when you have no explosive players, and I mean none, especially when D'Angelo Williams goes down. So you got Tolbert, Stewart, who also went down, and Olsen, and everybody. Nobody. Even Calvin Benjamin, he's very good, and he'll be a very nice NFL player. But nobody is explosive. Nobody's a playmaker. So they really have to win games like 20-17, 17-14. And so excellent play by the Steelers. You know, still have some things to clean up, but you know what? The secondary's looking better. If that running game
and the offensive line looks great.
Yeah, if that running game behind that offensive line can give you that boost, you know Big Ben, give him a little bit, give him an inch, and he'll make plays for you. And I 100% agree, Antonio Brown is probably the best underrated player in the NFL, and he shouldn't even be underrated. I mean, this guy's a top five receiver right now. He's fantastic.
I'd have to agree. And look at the consistency, over five receptions for 19 straight games. That's amazing. So the Super Bowl rematch, Ray, this is the game that we wanted last February, 26-20 in overtime. You know, sort of a rough way to go for Denver in the first half. They were conservative, couldn't do anything, looked like they were shook, played bad really for three quarters. And then all of a sudden they explode with, 17 points in the third quarter and come back. The two-point conversion to Demaryius Thomas was amazing. I was almost, in a way, I was sort of surprised that they came back the way they did. I think Seattle got a little conservative. I mean, obviously, Beast Mode had a big game with 88 yards and that touchdown. But I think, you know, Manning's stats, 303, but the one pick and the two touchdowns, it wasn't an impressive 303. I didn't like the way Peyton Manning played. But I will say this, Emmanuel Sanders, like I said before the season, is a big upgrade from Eric Decker. 11 receptions for 149 yards. That was great. But, again, the Seahawks, they just have their number. And I know you're going to talk about it. We got to applaud Russell Wilson. He is the man. Just he gets it done no matter what, Ray.
Yeah, I got to say that this game, if you're an optimist, you take – the glass is half full for both teams because half time I was ready to write and tweet and scream and listen and shout to anybody that would listen to me that Seattle has Denver's kryptonite and Denver will never beat a tough NFC team that'll punch you in the mouth. So it was very important to me, and I was very impressed that Denver hung in there, and Denver was able to tie the game without any timeouts. They were able to go the length of the field and score that tying touchdown and make the two-point conversion. So kudos to Denver. It's hard to do against Seattle. It's harder to do it in Seattle. So they did do it. They kept the game close, and they did do it. Because at halftime, I was ready to just completely write off the Broncos this year.
But don't you think Denver's better now because of their defense? That's what really kept them in the game, that defense.
Exactly. So that's my my glasses half full, right? Because you pick up Ward and you pick up Tlaib and you pick up Ware. So your defense gets better. And playing these tough teams that you don't maybe necessarily get in the AFC, playing these tough teams like Seattle – and, you know, they're
going to play the Niners and the Cardinals.
The Niners as well. So playing that NFC West, that's got to be good for them. And I do believe that this is going to be good. And, look, you play to win the game, right, like Herm Edwards say. But when you're Denver, you're playing to win a Super Bowl because nothing else really matters. You're not trying to make the playoffs. You're not trying to lose in the AFC Championship game. So this loss, as much as it sounds crazy, actually, I think they're a better team today than they were yesterday. You know what I mean?
That's a great point.
I think it helps them. And for Seattle, it just they're a beast. You know, you said it. I was hesitant to jump on the bandwagon because repeat champions are few and far between. We haven't had one
They just have
since,
a different mindset. They really do.
Yeah. We haven't had one since the Patriots 10 years ago and the Cowboys 20 years ago. But – these guys look good. And again, it comes down to Russell Wilson. It comes down to the fourth quarter and in overtime. This guy just knows how to make plays. And unless you spy him, unless you dedicate one guy, which means you're taking one of your 11 defenders and you're putting it on Russell Wilson, this guy will either complete a short pass or he'll run or he'll do some misdirection. This guy, they just figure it out. And Daryl Bevel is leaving there next year, and he's going to be a head coach somewhere. Because
I would
he's
agree.
Calling all the right plays and doing the right things. And Russell Wilson's going to get paid, you know, $25 million a year next year. So I don't know if they'll be able to keep this, you know, franchise together. But right now, they have a good thing going.
They do. And I will say this. They do draft well, and they still have a lot of young guys under contract. One amazing thing that I didn't realize, they said it during the game, the Seattle Seahawks are the smallest team in the NFL by height and weight, but they are fast and strong and furious, but they are the smallest team in the NFL.
Wow.
And you wouldn't,
they're also
you wouldn't
the
think
fourth
that.
Youngest.
They're yes.
also the fourth youngest. And you look at all the other young teams, it's like Tampa Bay and St. Louis and all these teams that are terrible, but this team is constructed beautifully.
No, it really is. So let's hit up these two more games before we get to Monday and Thursday night. San Diego took care of Buffalo. I thought that was a big win on the road, 22-10. Pretty impressed with the Chargers, even though the injuries, yada, yada, yada. I think the big game, let's talk about this one, the Washington Redskins at Philadelphia. I want to hear your thoughts on more of Washington because – they're going to play Thursday night against the Giants, but I was very impressed and thought they should have won that game. Kirk Cousins, to me, Ray, him and DeSean Jackson. I was so happy for DeSean Jackson. Going back to Philadelphia, he played a great game. Morris looked good. I mean, there's nothing bad to look at for them except for the fact that they lost the game. Their defense, the Redskins' defense actually didn't play horrible. But, I mean, you know, they're getting sacked. They're getting pressure on the quarterback. Kerrigan and Orakpo are all over the place. I just think that, you know, they played against a team that's very explosive. But whether it's Darrell Young or Roy Helu, you know, all over the place, the Redskins have weapons. And I like, you know, the Paulson, Niles Paul, you know, Garcon woke back up, Jackson. This team is deadly. So, I don't know. What do you think about this game, and what do you think about the Redskins and the Eagles, I guess, going forward?
So, I like this game, again, in defeat for the Redskins. Look, Philadelphia is a tough team to beat, even though the last few years their home field hasn't been great, Lincoln Financial. But this is still a road game, a tough road game in the NFC East. the Redskins have a very solid team. And I don't know what the future holds for RG3, but I do know that whoever leads this team, whether it's Cousins or RG3, they have plenty of weapons on offense. And if that defense can get consistency, and we said we wanted more from Kerrigan and Arakpo, and we want a little bit better from their secondary, and now, you know, they have some injuries back there. But this is a solid, solid team, and the addition of DeSean Jackson really puts them offensively on another level. Now, Philly, this is a weird team to me. I mean, they're so explosive on offense. They can't really hold a lead, though, so they can't really play from ahead, right? When you want them to you know, ice the game, I don't know if they can. Nick Foles does look like the real deal, though. And that little fight, I think, solidified the Eagles, right? That everybody came to Nick Foles' back, and
they had that bad late cheap shot.
By Baker, yeah. So I don't know what he was thinking, but he certainly didn't help himself. He helped the Eagles. And, you know, both of these teams are going to be fine. I think the Eagles are going to win the division. But you know what? If I'm a Redskins fan, I'm okay. I think you have a young, talented team, and you have a quarterback in Kirk Cousins who, if you decide to get rid of RG3, then you can go with Cousins. I'm not ready to write RG3. I think he still has one more strike left. But
But I think he's going to be out longer than people think. So I think we'll see Kirk Cousins to like week 12. I think RG3 is going to be gone for a bit. It's going to take a while to heal. I really do. And remember this, Nick Foles, man, 325, 3 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. That's what you like to see from your quarterback.
Yeah, he protects the ball.
So let's get into it, baby. Monday Night Football, Ray. This is what we've been waiting for. You know, for me, I was quite happy to see my Steelers, you know, because I made a point to my son yesterday. I said, it's kind of frustrating. We have the Red Zone channel. You have all these games, but you just kind of – you want to focus in on one game, and it's hard. And you almost wish the NFL, they would never do this, right? But for the sports fan, you'd like, can you start some games at 12 and start another couple games at 1, start a couple games at 2 – it'd be better for the viewing fan because then you could see more of parts of games at least. You know what I mean? But at least, you know, we've got Thursday night, Sunday night, and Monday night. So tonight, last night I got to see my Steelers, my second favorite team I get to see tonight, the Jets. I think going into this game, obviously D. Milner probably won't play. Marshall and Jeffrey will play, but they're banged up still. I just think the Jets at home – are going to try to put up a performance that, you know, can shock the world. I think Rex is going to design some type of blitzes and stuff and do enough to throw Cutler off. Now, Cutler had a big win, that win against the Niners. I just don't think 2 weeks in a row on the road against tough defensive fronts, he's going to be able to pull it off. I love Cutler, but I got a funny feeling they can't stop the run. Geno will do enough. They should have beat the Packers. I take the Jets to upset the Bears. I'll go 26-24. Jets somehow get enough to going and create some turnovers from intercept and sack fumble on Cutler, and they beat the Bears. And my fantasy stud, even though they probably won't have Eric Decker, I'll say that maybe we see something from the young tight end, Jace Amaro and Chris Johnson. Gets you a nice touchdown and 80 yards rushing. Chris Johnson,
Okay. Even though it's September and not December, I'm going to say that the key to this game is who can run the football and conversely, who can stop the run. The Jets are leading the NFL in rushing, averaging almost 180 yards a game. So if they can run, I think that they set the tempo. They take a few possessions off the table, and they could win a close game. However, Mark Trestman is an offensive guru, and if he can get Matt Forte back, because he had a great week one, or a very solid week one, and a terrible week two. So depending on Chicago's ability to run the ball, they'll be able to not have to rely on Alshon Jeffrey and Brandon Marshall, who are both banged up with a hamstring and an ankle injury. But it comes down to, can Chicago run the ball? And I have a sneaky suspicion that trust me, we're going to have something with that extra day of preparation for the Jets, our Jets. So I think that Chicago is going to break the hearts of all the New York J-E-T-S Jets fans. I'm going with my brain and not my heart on this one. So I like the Bears. Yeah, I like the Bears in a close game in New York.
It could have been a great week for you. Your Cowboys and your Chargers won. You're going against your heart, man.
Well, you know what? I have to call it like it is. I'm a professional. I got to call it like it is.
I'm not mad at you.
I like the Bears, 23-20.
Okay. So now we got Thursday night, the Redskins at the Giants. I just want to say real quick before that, you got to give kudos to the Saints and the Chiefs from preventing themselves from going 0-3. I thought that was big. And Baltimore is pretty lucky, Ray. Cleveland had them, and they lost that game. You know, so I don't know what you think about those Ravens, but Baltimore got a little break, winning 23-21 at Cleveland. That was an exciting football game.
Yeah, Cleveland might be here to stay, maybe not this year, but next year. So you got to worry about being an AFC North team. Cleveland is looking like they might be for real.
What's wrong with the Patriots? 16-9 over the Raiders. That was not – they're not looking good. Except
they
for Julian Edelman.
The Raiders are driving. They could have tied that game, maybe gone for two, and possibly won that game.
Vince Wilfork with the interception, my man. I was like, go ahead.
I saw that. That was crazy. You saw him go to the ground real quick, though. He was like, all right.
That's classic. So Thursday, we're going to have some fun with this one, man. It's NFC, you know, Thursday night on CBS and on NFL Network, they've got all the division matchups. So last week was a destruction blowout from the Falcons against Tampa. And then this week we have the Giants off that big win over the Texans. So kudos to the Giants for waking up. Eli, Victor Cruz, and the boys. And Ray needs to say, and I'm sorry, to Rashard Jennings, the best running back of the week, putting up 170 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah,
oh, man. Oh, he looked good, Ray. Can the Giants go down to D.C. and beat the Redskins on Thursday Night Football? I think that they have a shot. But I'm going to go with the Redskins in a good game. I think the Giants play well. But I do think that, like you said, what the Redskins gained from that loss in Philly and Cousins with even on a short week, but I think Cousins with that experience now of, like, knowing this is his team and he's got Pierre Garçon and Jackson and Miles Paul and those guys going – I say the Redskins win a pretty exciting game, 28-24 over the Giants on Thursday night.
You know, I have to agree. I think that even though both teams turned it around, the Giants ended up winning. So you could argue that the Giants have some more momentum than the Redskins. But I like the Redskins in this game. I think the Redskins, DeSean Jackson gets another week to get healthy. And I think this addition of Miles Paul really, you know, they didn't skip a beat. We all thought Jordan Reed would be nice. But you know what? Miles Paul was filling in that role. And the reemergence of Pierre Garçon gives this – I think it gives this Redskins offense too much. And I don't think Rashard Jennings, who I do owe an apology letter, so hi, Rashard, I'm starting it right now. I don't think he'll be able to duplicate this performance. And I think the Redskins will be able to at least contain him. So I think the Redskins are going to win fairly easily. I think they win something like 30-20. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game.
30-20, and I got 28-24. I'm sure Sean and all the D.C. fans will be happy to hear we're picking the Redskins. We'll have to let them know. Look, good week of football. Hopefully all the off-the-field stuff gets settled, calms down. Figure everything out. And, oh, by the way, Roger Goodell's going nowhere, just so the fans know. It was made clear last night on Sunday Night Football by Dan Rooney and the Mara owner of the Giants, who are heading up the committee with Robert Mueller. You know, one mistake does not mess up a career. So that's how the spin on it is from the NFL owners. But, you know, great show. And let's just look forward to good football, the game we all love, on the field. Yeah, should be fun, man. Let's go Jets. Have a good game tonight. And thanks for listening, everybody.
Yeah,
oh, we
got
to thank the fans.
Sports week.
Yeah, we Ray and Tay, over 200,000 listens, man. So thank you, fans out there. We appreciate it.
Yeah, we appreciate the support, and we have a blast talking sports with friends. And come join us on our couch anytime you want. So have a great sports week. We'll catch up with you on Friday.
Yep.
Ray,
see you on
Tay.
Friday.
Good
day.
Wow.
Great. And go to iTunes. Listen to all our podcasts on iTunes. Ray and Tay today. We're everywhere.